From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Donald Trump has decided that the religious sensibilities of health workers who might be opposed to contraception, abortion, or the rights of LGBTQ people to exist are so immense that the government needs a new office to protect them. On Thursday, the Trump administration announced the creation of the Conscience and Religious Freedom Division under the Department of Health and Human Services. That division will fall under HHS's Office of Civil Rights. Joining me to help understand what this all means is Rob Boston, Director of Communications at the group Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Welcome to the program, Rob.
Thanks for having me on.
So let's first talk about what exactly the issue is that Trump feels the need to address with the creation of an entire division. I have not really read very much or heard very much about health workers being under such duress at having to do things that violate their religious freedoms that this is required. As far as you understand, what is the problem here that this office would fix?
Well, really, I think what's happening here is it's a shift and the resources of the federal government away from the average person who may need some type of health care and backing instead those providers who don't want to serve certain classes of people. You know, we've seen in the past few years disputes over pharmacists who refuse to fill a prescription for birth control, medical professionals who don't want to serve the transgender community, this sort of thing. Now, it's not a huge number of people, but it does have an impact on those individuals trying to get these services. In the past, under the Obama administration, the federal government was siding with the people in need of the healthcare services. But now, under Trump, we're seeing a flip, and suddenly it's the healthcare providers whose rights are allegedly being violated that are going to get the power of the federal government behind them.
I mean, here's the question. Don't doctors, I don't know if all health workers and nurses have to take this oath, but don't doctors have to take a Hippocratic Oath, for example, which, you know, places the greatest emphasis on the well-being of their patient and their, you know, if their religious freedom might get in the way of that or their religious beliefs might get in the way of that, they might be in the wrong profession.
Yeah, I think that most healthcare professionals honor those rules, but it only takes a few to make things difficult for people. And I'm especially concerned about incidents where people are involved maybe in accidents or need emergency care, and they end up in the hands of a healthcare provider who may not normally be the person that they see on a regular basis. Will that individual decide that his or her religious beliefs get in the way of providing needed services to that individual? You know, you're talking about maybe a woman who's having some kind of a crisis pregnancy, a miscarriage, a transgender person who's been in an accident and who needs help. The only standard in those cases ought to be that they are going to get the medical services that they need to maybe even save their lives. This is not the time for somebody to be coming in and saying, oh, well, my interpretation of the Bible or some other religious book tells me that I can't serve you. Yet that seems to be where we're going with this office, and it's very troubling.
I mean, the whole idea of religious belief is that it's a belief. One can say one believes in anything. You know, what if you had a nurse or a doctor who had in front of them a white supremacist that was dying, and that doctor or nurse suggested that they couldn't treat that because this person's existence violated their religious beliefs? Could make up a religion on the spot and say, this is my religious belief. You can't prove otherwise. Not that I would ever recommend that a doctor or nurse do such a thing. Not that most doctors and nurses would ever do such a thing. But the fact is, when you cite the idea of religious belief, it's whatever you want to say that should never, of course, upend someone's right to get medical care.
Of course, and we've seen this in other contexts as well. You know, there's this raging debate in society right now about to what extent a for-profit business has to serve members of the LGBTQ community and non-believers or single moms or cohabitating couples or whatever. People suddenly making these arguments that, well, I have these religious beliefs. I don't even have to let you into my store. That's bad enough. But now to extend this to the healthcare profession, I think it's extremely dangerous because it can be a matter of life and death in some cases.
Now, when the government creates a new division, it needs resources to do it. If the government is creating this new division of so-called conscience and religious freedom, is it taking away resources from something else? I mean, this is falling, of all things, under the Office of Civil Rights.
Yes, well, I think inevitably what you're seeing here is just a shift in focus. This is an administration that isn't really terribly concerned about people's civil rights. I mean, certainly we know from some of the recent statements from President Trump that he's not really very sensitive to these types of issues. So what they're doing is basically shifting resources in a manner that's going to back people making religious claims. And some of these claims, you know, simply aren't going to be tenable, I think. You know, I mean, there are situations where reasonable accommodations are extended to religious people in ways that don't affect the rights of others. You know, if you want to be able to eat a special kind of a meal because of your religious beliefs, well, that's fine. That's really not going to affect anybody else. But what we're seeing is an extension of an argument that affects the rights of other people. And that's where I think we have to draw the line. If your religious beliefs are putting harms on other people or causing them to be discriminated against, that goes too far.
Now, your organization is called called Americans United for Separation of Church and State. The idea of separation of church and state is supposed to be a fundamental tenet of American government. Is there a legal basis to oppose this? Do you foresee lawsuits against the creation of this division?
Well, I will tell you that my organization is already suing the Trump administration in a couple areas. We're suing him over the Muslim ban, and we're suing him over the attempt to restrict women's access to birth control. So we're not afraid to go after the administration in court. We'll do it again if we have to. This particular case, we saw the establishment of the office today, and at some point in the future, maybe in a few weeks, there will be some type of a rule that will be issued. And we're going to look at that rule very closely, because if there is litigation, it's all going to hinge around what that particular rule says. So let me just say that I don't think we're going to be the only organization that's interested in taking this to court. There will probably be others looking at it as well. This administration has made a number of missteps and left itself vulnerable to litigation. And so far, we've actually been successful in winning those cases, and let's hope that continues.
Yeah, I just want to also point out the irony of the so-called family values, the people claiming to have, you know, morality as their as the basis of these moves, rely on a person like Donald Trump to do it. I mean, we just heard revelations recently about Donald Trump's alleged affair with a porn star. I mean, I couldn't care less if he had an affair with a porn star, except that the hypocrisy of those people who support Donald Trump because he can deliver these kinds of ideological fundamentalist policies seem to not have a problem when it's Trump doing them. They might have a problem if it was a Democrat or a person of color in power doing them. That just reeks of hypocrisy if you're talking about morality and so-called religious values.
You're absolutely right. And I can guarantee you that if a progressive politician were doing some of the things that Trump has done, you know, using vulgar language, failing to condemn blatant racism, engaging in, you know, questionable sexual activity, bragging about sexually assaulting women, yes, the Family Values Brigade would be up in arms about that. They simply will not criticize this man, no matter what he does. And we've called them out on it several times. We've challenged them on it several times. They simply don't care. Now, there are some folks in the evangelical community who have stepped up. But by and large, those on the far right, they're just remaining quiet about Trump no matter what he does, because he's giving them policy victories like this one today.
And then finally, Rob, what about the symbolic impact of creating a division like this, right? When the government does these sorts of things, they're sending a message, the government sends a message about what its priorities are that ripple far beyond the purview of that specific division. Isn't this a way that the Trump administration is sending a coded message to its base that it's okay to discriminate against women wanting to use contraception or get an abortion, or LGBTQ people wanting to be humans?
I think you're exactly right about that. This administration has repeatedly sent messages like that to the religious right base. I mean, you have to remember, this is a guy whose approval ratings are not very good. a lot of people are having second thoughts who may have supported him. But the one constituency that has remained solidly in his camp is the religious right. And he has consistently paid them back for that with these types of policy statements. So yes, it does make a powerful statement and it does impact people. That's a mistake I think some folks make, and they may think, oh, you know, it's just words, it's verbiage, it's really not going to make a difference. No. When you're the person who can't get access to birth control, when you're the transgender person who's been denied health care, you know, when you're the person who's been turned away from a for-profit business because, you know, you're the wrong religion in the owner's eyes, that has an impact. That is a serious harm, not only to your health, but also just to your dignity and well-being. And this administration has just thrown all that out the window. It's appalling.
Well, Rob, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website for your organization.
Absolutely. It's very simple. AU.org. Just come visit us to see what we have to offer. It's quite a lot. AU.org.
And that's AU standing for Americans United. Rob, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Rob Boston is Director of Communications at Americans United for Separation of Church and State. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.